Production support for Earth Eats comes from Need More Coffee Roasters, a woman-owned coffee bar and roastery dedicated to roasting organic, direct trade, and fair trade coffee from small-scale farmers around the world, offering signature drinks, teas, and little eats. Located on Pete Ellis Drive, needmoreroasters.com. And Charles Schwab & Company, Incorporated, with a local branch on Morton Street in Bloomington. Independent branch leader Jeremy Zeichner, CFP, offers personalized financial plans matched to investors' goals. More at schwab.com/Bloomington. Kate Young here. Welcome to Earth Eats.
I'm going to look through these. I have to confirm that every single one of the individual mushrooms is a chanterelle.
That's right. The wild mushroom inspector at the Bloomington Farmers Market has to examine each and every mushroom for sale at the market to make sure no one ends up with a poisonous look-alike. In season this time of year is the chanterelle. Orange with a vase-like fluted shape, these tasty wild treats can be found all over the woods in southern Indiana. This week's show is a celebration of chanterelles with some recipes from local chefs and stories from Earth Eats founder and former host, Annie Corrigan. Harvest Public Media has a story about vet shortages in rural America and what impact it can have on our food system. That's all coming up on Earth Eats, so stay with us. In rural towns across America, there's a shortage of veterinarians. The pay is low, the hours long, and fewer of these professionals want to live where there are more cows than people. But as Harvest Public Media's Esther Honig reports, a lack of vets leaves farmers and our food supply vulnerable to devastating outbreaks.
Inside a sun-soaked barn, Dr. Karen Chandler visits with her first patient of the morning. Well, actually, there are 38 of them. These newborn calves are here for their first checkup. One by one, the calves are restrained and lifted onto a metal table. First, they're vaccinated, then they're branded with a hot iron. Chandler, a large animal vet, castrates the male calves.
They're going to be fine. They'll be a little sore, but they'll be back with mom and they'll be nursing in 20 minutes and they'll be fine.
This is what preventive medicine looks like for cows. And Chandler says it benefits more than just the animal and farmer.
Everything we do for our cattle is for the promotion of happy, healthy cattle. And that ends up with happy, healthy people.
In the rural town of Brush, Colorado, Chandler is the first line of defense against diseases that can spread from animals to humans. It's her job to identify and report potential outbreaks to public health officials before they become devastating. Like back in 2015, when the bird flu led to the deaths of 50 million turkeys and chickens. That's why an increasing shortage in rural vets concerns experts like Mark Stetter, the dean at the College of Veterinary Medicine at Colorado State University.
If those individuals are not out looking at a sick cow or testing animals as they're being shipped from one area to the other, we obviously run a real risk to our food chain, to our human health, and to our animal health.
In 2017, the U.S. Department of Agriculture identified nearly 200 mostly rural areas with insufficient access to a veterinarian. Stetter says the scarcity of rural vets looks nearly identical to the country's shortage of rural doctors. For one, rural wages can't keep up with hefty student loans. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, veterinarians in rural areas earn between $60,000 to $70,000 a year, half of what they could make in a city. That's not a lot to live off when the average debt for vet school is over $140,000. Stetter says about 30% of students accepted into his program are interested in working in rural areas. But after graduation, less than 10% will take a rural job. And those students are thinking about one thing.
You know what? I have a pretty big debt as I walk out the door, and I actually can't afford to work in rural areas because of that debt.
Chandler is the first to admit that she and her husband could not have come to Brush had she not been accepted for a highly competitive loan forgiveness program from the USDA.
I would say most of the time we can budget money well, and we can figure out how to handle debt. I don't have a lot of things that other people have, but I have a really good life.
She says the job comes with other sacrifices, like the lack of good Italian in rural Colorado. There's also the long days and odd hours.
horses colic in the middle of the night. Pigs get born at 6 a.m. and you can't get your kids to school on time.
Chandler's white pickup doubles as her mobile clinic. She'll travel hours to answer house calls for clients like Kim Davis, who drives hundreds of cattle in the most remote corners of the Eastern Plains. When a heifer needs an emergency C-section or a horse has a broken leg, Davis has to have a vet that can reach her within the hour.
It's trying to think of the right word. It's absolutely vital.
But when help is too far away, a phone call to the vet can be just as good, especially when it comes to preventing diseases among herds of cattle.
Sometimes the neighbors will get weird diseases and we're trying to stay away from that. We're going, okay, here's the symptoms. What are you thinking this is and what can we do to prevent from getting it?
One dead cow can set a rancher back thousands of dollars. But Chandler says working with livestock is about more than a bottom line. Like when she inspects cattle before they're sold for slaughter.
Every day that I'm out here at the sale barn on Thursday mornings, my thought is, would I want my niece to eat this at school? Mm-hmm. And if I don't think I'd want my niece to eat that at school, it doesn't walk through our sale ring.
There's a sense of stewardship for the animals and society. Esther Honig, Harvest Public Media.
Find more from our partners at harvestpublicmedia.org. Midsummer, July. And it's chanterelle season. Let's listen to some classic Earth Eats from Annie Corrigan, all about these gourmet goodies from the forest.
It's hot right now in Indiana. It's not a fun time for us, but the chanterelles love it. Inside two very powerfully air-conditioned Bloomington restaurants, chefs are creating special dishes to feature these wild mushrooms. First at King Dough, their special wood-fired pizza with chanterelles is called the Fancy Dad.
We actually just ate the pizza as well. It was amazing.
Farmer Salem Willard was there for lunch, and he's actually responsible for the special ingredient on that pizza. He runs Bread and Roses Gardens.
One day I was just walking on the road, and I saw some of the orange mushrooms there on the hillside, and I realized it's chanterelle season, and I just had completely forgotten because the last few years I hadn't really seen any.
Michael Whistler helps out at Bread and Roses.
It felt like striking gold, pretty much, for young farmers and farmhands that can use any extra dollars that they can find. It's about the quickest way to make a little extra cash, and it's fun, too, because you're just hiking through the woods.
They've sold produce to King Dough since the restaurant opened a year ago. Salem will send head pizza guy Adam Sweet texts every week to set up the restaurant's orders of heirloom tomatoes and herbs and other farm-fresh ingredients. But this one was a special text.
Yeah, when I told him, I was like, hey, Adam, I think there's going to be a lot of chanterelles in the next couple of weeks. Are you interested? He said, absolutely.
Whenever he called me up, I was just like, immediately the wheels started turning, like, what can we do with this?
Sweet is also a co-owner. He's standing next to their wood-fired oven that's blazing away at 800 to 1,000 degrees.
Just thinking of what is in season right now or what we have just, like, in stock in the restaurant that we need to get rid of. And we actually had quite a bit of pancetta from Smoking Goose. It was like, you know, perfect. These delicious, chewy mushrooms and these salty, salty pancetta.
Throw some sage on there and three types of cheese, and you have one of their most popular specials ever. Whether it's their basic margarita pizza or this fancy dad, every pie starts with the dough. Sweet says the crunch, the shape, and the taste of these wood-fired pizzas begin and end with how you treat the dough.
Cool. All right, so first off, we have to take our dough out, and this is one of those funny things where people that don't deal with this sort of dough, they're kind of rough with it. You got to really just like baby it 100% all the way through. I mean, you've basically started making this 48 hours ago. Like, why would you be rough with it now? This is your baby. Like, treat it like a baby. Be delicate with it. So you just got to, like, keep it as round as you possibly can. And then from there, we're going to throw it on the table here. First thing we're going to throw on this pizza is the bechamel sauce, which is essentially it's a cream sauce. It's a mother sauce in France. Then we're going to throw some of our fresh mozz, which was made probably yesterday morning. And some of Salem's beautiful heirloom tomatoes as well on this. So this is kind of a Salem-centric pizza here. And with the chanterelles. The chanterelles, since they are going into our oven, which is about 1,000 degrees, they're only going to get about 2 minutes to cook. So we pre-cook them a little bit. Just salt, sea salt, olive oil. And from here, I'm just going to place You just throw it in there. It's rising just a little bit. Baby it. Give it a little counterclockwise spin and look at the bottom of it. And what you're looking for is definitely a little bit of the char. That's the the beautiful characteristic of these sort of pizzas.
Oh yeah, we're getting some bubbles.
That's it. The pizza's done at that point. We're there already. This is how you know if we did a good job. We get a nice crunch whenever we cut the pizza open. Oh yeah. I think we got a winner here.
Sprinkle of Parmesan cheese, and it's off to the table. By the way, the name of that pizza, the Fancy Dad, came from a customer. Adam says one of the hardest things about making special pizzas so often is coming up with names. So if someone thinks this pizza is for a fancy dad, then so it is. Sweet served this to a very special guest recently. Chef Jeff Finch operates a restaurant just down the street from King Dough, and he's Sweet's former boss. Adam actually got his first taste of chanterelles when he worked in Finch's kitchen.
He came in and he ordered a root beer, and we were out of root beer. So I just dropped everything. I was like, give me 1 minute. And I ran down to Black's and bought a couple bottles of root beer, like brought it back and like sent it table side, like a bottle of root beer with a glass of ice. Like, there you go, chef.
You'll notice that I now have a chanterelle mushroom pizza as well, because it was so good. I just hadn't done it yet this year.
That is Chef Jeff Finch of Finch's Brasserie. His chanterelle pizza has Cherokee purple tomatoes, bacon, arugula, and gorgonzola. On the table in the back of his kitchen is a big box of still dirty, bright orange mushrooms.
We got these chanterelles in yesterday. This is about 12 pounds of fresh chanterelle mushrooms. We haven't done much with them, except put them in a container. This is about a week's worth. We'll get more the beginning of next week.
He got that guarantee from his mushroom guy, a forager with whom he's worked for years. But when we're talking about wild foods, a guarantee only goes so far. Finch says he never really knows how many chanterelles will come through the door.
Generally, we won't put it on the printed menu, just for that reason, because who knows? It's hard to plan around Mother Nature. I can get chanterelles from the Pacific Northwest, from Europe. There's seasons all around the world, but the further away they come, the more expensive they are. So I don't really like to do it. It doesn't exactly follow our philosophy.
His cooking focuses on seasonal foods from local growers whenever possible. There's a mild, nutty flavor in the mushrooms he wants to highlight. Not just almonds, but like almond milk. The trick is to not mask that with too many bells and whistles, he says.
These mushrooms are considerably more flavored than regular button mushrooms, so they can stand on their own a lot better. I just don't think they need as many ingredients paired with them.
So let's get as stripped down as possible with these chanterelles. All you'll need is oil, salt and pepper, and butter.
What I like to do simply, quickly, we can eat them immediately, is get a pan pretty hot, about 2 ounces of oil. And the thing about cooking mushrooms is when you want to sear them, or when you just want to cook them in general, I don't like to crowd the pan, because what'll happen is all the water will come out and they'll just kind of simmer in their own juice, which I don't prefer. So our pan is good and hot. We'll add a handful, but not a giant handful, just enough to cover the bottom of the pan. And then, patient. We watch, we wait. So once our edges are starting to brown, we'll give it a quick toss, and then we'll let that side brown, maybe arranging the mushrooms just a little bit back into that single layer if we need to. At this point, I'll add a little bit of salt and a little bit of pepper, give it a quick toss, and then I'll just turn it down because I'm going to add a little bit of butter, and I don't want the butter to burn. The pan's pretty hot. Give it a stir. And really, we're just stirring it until the butter is incorporated to the mushrooms and just kind of coats the mushrooms. That's really all they need.
Keep in mind, Annie had these conversations with Adam Sweet and Jeff Finch a couple of years ago. These dishes are probably not on their menus at this moment, but they may be featuring chanterelles for the next couple of weeks. Jeff Finch has moved on from Finch's. The restaurant has the same great food and a new name, The Roost. We'll hear more from Jeff Finch later on in the program. Production support comes from Elizabeth Rue, enrolled agent with Personal Financial Services, assisting businesses and individuals with tax preparation and planning for over 15 years. More at personalfinancialservices.net. The Clean Bedroom, offering organic mattresses, adjustable beds, and pillows, helping mindful customers create a sustainable and organic clean bedroom step by step. New York City, Boston, and now Indianapolis. More at thecleanbedroom.com. And Charles Schwab & Company, Incorporated, with a local branch on Morton Street in Bloomington. Independent branch leader Jeremy Zeigner, CFP, offers personalized financial plans matched to investors' goals. More at schwab.com/Bloomington. We're in the throes of chanterelle season here in southern Indiana. They started popping up a couple of weeks ago, and the weather has been ideal. You'll see them for sale at the farmers markets, and here in Bloomington, all the wild mushrooms for sale at our community farmers market must be examined by an expert. Annie Corrigan tagged along with one such expert on her Saturday morning market inspections a couple of years ago.
Before vendors can sell any wild mushrooms at the Bloomington Community Farmers Market, they have to be checked and approved by Marty Crouch. She's served as the mushroom inspector at the market for 20 years. She pulls on a pair of blue gloves 1 hour before customers arrive, and she starts roaming the market looking for wild mushrooms to inspect.
Good morning, Marty Crouch. Nice to meet you.
I know, on the back side.
Yeah, those are a little old.
I knew they were.
It was the first Saturday in August when I joined her. She started her work a bit earlier than usual because there were so many vendors wanting to sell chanterelles that day.
They come up in mid to late July is the peak, and it depends on how hot and humid it is. They like it really hot and humid, and you know, consistent rains, and we're having one of those really wet Julys. I'd say this is a 1 in 10 year chanterelle season. Really good. I'm gonna look through these. I have to confirm that every single one of the individual mushrooms is a chanterelle and not another species of mushroom.
Every single one?
Yeah. You'll notice that the backs of these mushrooms look like they have little folds instead of knife-edge gills like a mushroom that you'd find in the grocery store. The poisonous look-alike is called a jack-o'-lantern mushroom. It's also orange, about this color. It's also kind of vase-shaped, comes up at the same time of year, but it has knife-edge gills instead of folds. These all look good. Let's go over here and look at Sean.
Sean Breeden-Ost is standing behind his table with his son, Glenn. They have 6 pounds of chanterelles and a couple paper grocery sacks.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Good.
They foraged these yesterday. When I asked Sean what it's like to find a big batch of chanterelles growing in the woods, he let out this low growl.
It's like Christmas. It is. It's exciting, and it's you kind of lose track of time.
Marty gives a thumbs up, and we walk to John Allen Flynn's table.
Got any today?
Yeah, I've got some.
These mushrooms are bigger and thicker than what we've looked at so far. Jackpot this week.
Well, jackpot the last 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, look at all. He's got oodles and gobs too.
How long are you expecting the season to go on?
Well, probably another week or two, right, Marty?
If it rains.
Yeah, if it rains,
the more miserable you are, the happier they are.
Yeah, you get drenched just walking around the woods.
Ticks.
Oh, yeah, spiders are real bad. Yeah, that sticky sticks to your neck, and you can't get it out of your hair. And
watch for
sounding worse and worse.
Well, it ain't all that bad.
In addition to the chanterelles, he's selling wild oyster mushrooms. Marty inspects these too.
Those are pretty.
So these oyster mushrooms, the mycelium grows through the wood. The chanterelles grow on the ground, but their mycelium is connected to the roots of trees. So they're mycorrhizal, and people haven't figured out how to cultivate them. Whereas these oyster mushrooms and other mushrooms that grow within trees, a lot of them have been cultivated. Okay, these look good. The wild mushrooms, they all have insects growing in them, every one of them.
To be expected.
And, yes. And they add to the nutrition of the mushroom, but I would always cook mushrooms because of that, wild mushrooms. Got any today?
Now, Marty Crouch was talking about the chanterelle season a couple of years ago, but from what I'm hearing, the chanterelles are coming on strong now, and all the heat and rain we've been getting point to the possibility of another great harvest. Nowadays, it's Sean Breeden Ost's job to check out all the wild mushrooms at market. Marty has retired.
So we recently started doing brunch, and for me, chanterelle mushrooms and brunch just go great. You ask what kind of things pair really well with mushrooms, especially chanterelles, eggs. Eggs. So we make a chanterelle mushroom leek
now, back
and
to
local
Shevre
cheese frittata, which I will make for you right now. And so since we're making a frittata, which is a little bit different than an omelet, we'll start with our ingredients as opposed to our egg, which is the main ingredient, because we're going to want to cook them a little bit before we add the egg. These chanterelle mushrooms are a little different from the ones that you saw earlier. We've picked through them, we've brushed off as much of the dirt as we can, and a lot of times they come in really large, so we tend to break them up into smaller pieces depending on the use. For frittata, we want them a little bit smaller just because it's easier to eat. And so we'll add a handful of these, not being too stingy, because like I said, it's a good season for them. We're just gonna cook these mushrooms and leeks until they start to wilt a little bit. And then we're going to add 3 eggs. So I'm just stirring this a little bit. And we're going to add a little bit of parsley. And then before we put it in the oven, we'll just put a little bit of Capriole Chèvre on it. We'll just sprinkle that on. That way, as the eggs finish cooking, the cheese melts in. And so we're going to put that in the oven for about 3 or 4 minutes at 350 degrees, just until the eggs are set and the cheese has melted a little bit. While that is in the oven, let's see, we'll make a pasta, because that's pretty quick. We do a lot of pastas here.
This pasta requires a little work ahead of time. Keep an ear out for Finch's corn stock and roasted heirloom tomato puree. Oh, and orecchiette is a kind of pasta that looks like little ears. All right, here we go.
So again, heat your pan, get it good and hot. We have about a tablespoon of oil. We're gonna add a healthy handful of these chanterelle mushrooms, probably about a cup, to a nice hot pan. I wanna try and get those to sear a little bit in our hot oil. A lot of new cooks and a lot of home cooks, what they tend to do is move the ingredients in the pan too much. They always wanna mess with it, which I understand. I wanna mess with it too, but experience has taught me not to mess with it. It's, as fast as we need to be in cooking, there's a lot of patience involved as well.
I just want to jostle it.
Not yet. So we can see the mushrooms start to brown at the edges. Once I see that is when I'll jostle it. So we can see that we're getting a little bit of sear. We just toss them once to kind of flip them so we can start to sear on the other side. That's a fair amount of time. We'll add our leeks. Give those a stir.
Oh wow, those mushrooms are brown.
Yes. We're caramelizing the sugars that are in there, basically. Makes them a little bit richer, just adds another element of flavor. We're gonna gonna add about a quarter cup of sugar snap peas. Give that a stir. We're gonna add just a little bit of white wine. And that's just basically, we call it deglazing. We wanna get any of the food particles that have attached themselves to the bottom of the pan. And also, with a little bit of white wine, we're adding a little bit of acid to the dish. Once that wine is pretty much reduced, we're gonna add an ingredient that we use a lot around here this time of year, and it's corn stock. So basically, we make a regular vegetable stock, only we add a lot of corn kernels, and then we also add corn cobs. So we're gonna add some cherry tomatoes, and we're going to add a little bit of roasted tomato puree that I have here. This is from roasted heirloom tomatoes that we cook in our wood-fired oven. And then we're just gonna add a little bit of butter. And so once our butter's fairly well incorporated, we're gonna take our orecchiette and add a handful of that. This is pre-cooked. We cook it ahead of time and cool it. So when we get orders during service, it's a lot quicker. We don't have time to cook pasta to order. So now is all we need to do is heat that pasta. We're gonna add a little bit of local arugula to finish it. And when I add greens to a dish like this, I don't like them to wilt all the way through. I like them still to have a little bit of their body and a little bit of their shape. So we'll just give that a quick toss just to get that warmed up, and we're ready to put it in a dish.
Jeff Finch puts that plate down and shifts his attention back to the oven.
Now, if all has gone well, our frittata is finished cooking. So our eggs are set, the cheese is melted in just enough. Looks pretty because of the chanterelles and the parsley.
That was Earth Eats founder and former host, Annie Corrigan. Be sure to check out these two great brunch recipes. You can find them, as always, on our website, eartheats.org. Production support comes from Need More Coffee Roasters, a woman-owned coffee bar and roastery dedicated to roasting organic, direct trade, and fair trade coffee from small-scale farmers around the world. Offering signature drinks, teas, and little eats. Located on Pete Ellis Drive, needmoreroasters.com. Elizabeth Rue, enrolled agent with Personal Financial Services, assisting businesses and individuals with tax preparation and planning for over 15 years. More at personalfinancialservices.net. And The Clean Bedroom, offering organic mattresses, adjustable beds, and pillows. Helping mindful customers create a sustainable and organic clean bedroom, step by step. New York City, Boston, and now Indianapolis. More at thecleanbedroom.com. The Earth Eats team includes Aya Bonbinder, Chad Bouchard, Alex Chambers, Mark Chilla, Taylor Killo, Daniel Orr, and all the folks at Farm Bloomington Restaurant, the IU Food Institute, and Harvest Public Media. Special thanks this week to Annie Corrigan, Adam Sweet, Jeff Finch, and Marty Crouch. Earth Eats theme music is composed by Aaron Toby and performed by Aaron and Matt Toby. Our executive producer is John Bailey. I'm Kate Young, and that's our show.